because we cannot come into His presence without being transformed by Him. Thanks for leading us, team, in that worship and song. Well, let's continue to listen, open hearts and minds as we engage with God's Word this morning. Just a couple of notices. First of all, there are calendars for sale for 2018 for $20 each, and they were put together by the Sandra Jones Center in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, one of the missions that we support overseas. And by buying these calendars, we will be able to help pay for the tuition of the children who are at the center, and also to support each one in other ways. The photos on the pages of the calendar are the girls and boys at the Sandra Jones Center with their beautiful, beautiful smiles. Yeah, Africans have a beautiful smile. And it's just so wonderful. Their smiles are a testament to the love and care and concern that they have felt and received. And that's why they could smile in that beautiful way. So purchase one. A good opportunity for a Christmas gift, although that's less than 3 months away now. Coming up quick. Another notice. I know on Friday there's a group meeting, the first Friday of every month, following Aglow. A group started to meet and just really asking God, how would you like us to serve our local community? So that group's getting together. Is that right, Rose? This Friday morning. Do come along if you feel that. Just a group that's seeking God, saying, hey, how can we serve you in our local community? And just pursuing avenues for that. So that's really cool. Yet to have a name for that group. So, yeah, it's awesome. And great news, Josiah Rome Tawil was born in the early hours of Saturday morning. Most of you won't know the Tawils, but they are family that come and, have you seen? Yeah, okay, cool. Jono and Sal, Selena, they usually sit over there. She's got blonde hair and he's got dark hair. Three kids, the girl Shyla, boy Izzy and Lanaya, and now little Josiah, who's just been born. So praise the Lord for that. That's so cool. Now be able to have a sports team, the church, in 5 or 10 years' time. So that's good. Make up the numbers. Very cool. The Australian Catholic Marriage and Family Council have called for all Christians to join together for the month of October to pray and fast for marriage and families. They actually made this call at the end of last year, not knowing what a significant month October would be this year. And so they've called all believers to pray and fast, and I encourage you to do that in whatever way or capacity you feel called to. And we're going to continue to meet for prayer here at 4 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon as we really pray. You know, particularly this time for praying for our nation's understanding of God's plan for marriage and for family life, and that we will be able to protect that. And so it's a crucial time in the life of our nation. So let's pray and fast as individuals and corporately in our groups. All right. Lord, thank you for the opportunity in worship and song of being able to calm the busy workshops of our minds and our hearts to seek you first this morning. Thank you for your wonderful desire to inhabit the praises of your people. So speak to us again from your word this morning. Words of truth, of encouragement. Of conviction. Well, we're doing a series on discipleship over the next six Sundays. And Graham Circum from Southern Cross Ministries, who has ministered to us before, as well as Stephen Ball from the Baptist Union, are coming to speak to us on this very important topic. Over the four Sundays that I'm speaking, I'd like for us to read through the Sermon on the Mount together. One of the great teaching messages of Jesus. And it provides us with some answers to the question, what does authentic biblical discipleship look like? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? And as we read through the Sermon on the Mount, I'd like to draw out seven marks of authentic discipleship. Seven things that should be evident in an authentic disciple's life. But before we head into that scripture, I guess the question needs to be asked, in some ways, how can we define what a disciple is? What is a disciple? Well, a disciple is a follower of Christ who, with time and with intentionality, increasingly seeks to participate in the life of God. So if someone calls themselves a disciple, then there will be evidence in their life of a growing God-centeredness and the outworking of that godliness in their life. So, are you ready? I'm obviously not going to pull out everything from the Sermon on the Mount. It is three chapters long. And we have actually preached through it before. Last week we finished the book of Ephesians. It took us a year, but we got there. And Matthew, we're still sitting at about Matthew 10. We have done the Sermon on the Mount in more detail, but I'd just like to pull out a few things relating to the question, what does it mean to be an authentic disciple? The first thing is this. The first mark is an embrace of kingdom values. An embrace of kingdom values. So let's give it a go. Matthew 5, 1 to 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach them. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. An embrace in kingdom values. First mark of a disciple. The Beatitudes, what we just read through there, describe the posture of one's inner being, or the attitudes, if you wish, required to participate in the life of God. And we got them mentioned there, the first three. Poor in spirit, those that mourn, and those that are meek. Could be summarized by the word humility. Humility. Humility before God. And humility before God is about personal grief over personal and corporate sin that leads to repentance. Repentance is a significant component of the healing process of our wounded hearts, and a way of realigning ourselves with and embracing the good and the perfect will of God for us. And embracing God's will is choosing His choices. And if it's choosing His choices, then we have to let go of or break free from choices that aren't His. And so discipleship is this redemptive journey with a redemptive Savior. And redemption is about leading to freedom from the consequences of sin and evil. And so disciples are on this journey of putting to death the sinful structures and those habits, and increasingly walking in the light. This is a sure sign of someone being a child of God. We read this in 1 John chapter 3. You see, friends, willful sin robs us and the church of its spiritual power. Every year I do a message on repentance, and if you'd like to get hold of that, come speak to me. I'm not going to go into it in much detail, but blessed are the poor in spirit. Humility before God is about submitting oneself to God. It's about recognizing our spiritual bankruptcy and the need to acknowledge and to confess our absolute reliance upon Him. And it's about moving away from our default position of pride and personal independence towards a place where we say, without you, I can do nothing of eternal value. Humility. Recognizing our personal spiritual bankruptcy. And without Him, we can do nothing. Humility is about grief over sin. That's the mourning part. And humility is about submitting oneself to Him, being led by Him, being obedient to Him, taking our orders from Him. The word meek literally means to bow down to. Humility. We want to embrace the kingdom value of humility before God. What are the next couple? Righteousness, pure in heart. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, pure of heart. That could be summarized by this word, holiness. Great song choice this morning. Now we know God is holy. It's been expressed in that song. He's other. He's awesome. He's totally without sin. He's perfect in every way. And He's invited us into His life. And when we come into relationship through Jesus Christ, we step into the righteousness of God. And we're clothed in that. And you know, holiness, the biblical terms that are translated holy or holiness that applies to God's people, that they do carry with them the strong connotation of moral purity, doing what is right. But moral purity is not first and foremost what Scripture is talking about when it talks about holiness. Instead, the most basic meaning of the word holy is to be set apart or dedicated unto God. To belong to Him, in other words. So when God says, I will be your God and you will be my people, you will be set apart for me. So before any consideration of morality, biblical holiness describes a relationship that God has established and desires with His people that sets them apart from the world. And this relationship has moral ramifications, but it precedes them. And we see this expressed in Colossians chapter 3. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And then he goes on. We'll come back to the rest a bit later. Do you see that relationship? You've been chosen. You've been set apart. Therefore, you're holy. And we take on the holiness of God when we come into relationship through Christ. Obviously, there's still a journey of throwing off everything that hinders us. But it's about relationships. And once in relationship with God in Christ, we are then empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk in His ways, to walk in the light. And showing mercy. And being peacemakers could be summarized by the word harmony. Now, it's the best H word that I can come up to continue the H theme of humility and holiness and harmony. But this is harmony in terms of interpersonal relationship. In other words, this pursuit of unity or oneness in relationships, especially in the body of Christ, it's got a whole lot more to do. It's got more to do than just peacekeeping. Peacemaking is different to peacekeeping. And David did a wonderful sermon threshing that out, which we can also get a hold of you for you. But it's really about this pursuit of unity in relationships, of oneness. That Paul describes in Ephesians so beautifully, which we've kind of fleshed out, especially mainly in the body of Christ. And that's why he says the following. He says, therefore, as God's chosen, holy, and dearly beloved people, clothe yourselves. In other words, do what's right by clothing yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Blessed are those who show mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who will seek reconciliation where possible. Blessed are those who handle offense by going to the person trying to sort it out. humility, holiness, harmony, an embrace of these values, these kingdom values, critical for discipleship. A result of embracing God's way, His values, is persecution. I just did heat because that's an H and kind of easy to remember. Wow, according to Jesus, persecution for living out kingdom values is a blessing. Wow, that's quite something. You see, it seems from Scripture is very clear that biblical discipleship involves counting the cost. In other contexts, that has been and is an experienced truth in very, very significant ways. Just need to spend some time reading magazines by Samaritan's Purse or Open Doors to discover that that is very real for those who live kingdom values and who declare Jesus. Not so much in our context. And the funny thing is that Scripture guarantees persecution will be the result of authentic discipleship. It's a guarantee, especially when it's expressed in places of increasing darkness. And I don't know if you're aware, but even just with what's going on in our nation, the persecution is on the rise with those that are willing to step up and say, this is what I believe. So we shouldn't really be surprised when it comes. Counting the cost. So what's the first one? What's the first kingdom value? Humility, thank you. The next one? Holiness. The third one? Harmony. And the result could be? Heat. Okay. The result could be heat. An embrace of kingdom values. First mark of authentic discipleship. This is the second one today. Clarity of mission. What does it say in the next? I haven't got the verses up. You're going to have to look it up in your Bible. I forgot to put it up on the screen. Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 16. Anyone want to read that out for me? Valda, you can read that out. The next couple of verses of this awesome sermon on the Mount.
Verses
13 to 16.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Amen. Thanks, Father. A clarity of mission. Being salt and light. You know, salt is a unique, a distinctive substance. And in biblical times, it was highly valued and it was used in a variety of ways, mostly as a preservative, but also, obviously, for things like seasoning and as a disinfectant. However, salt was only effective for these purposes if it remained salt. If its uniqueness and purity as sodium chloride remained intact. And salt can lose its saltiness by becoming contaminated or by being compromised when other minerals are mixed in with it or if it's considerably diluted. And here Jesus was saying, you are unique and distinctive as disciples, as followers of me, and can be used to influence others, just like salt, in a variety of ways. However, beware, because just like salt, it is possible for you to become compromised and therefore ineffective as disciples. Are you with me? I want you to think about this question. Turn to the person next to you, around you, if you feel comfortable in doing that. Otherwise, just sit quietly and ponder this question. In what ways could we become compromised as disciples? In what way could we become compromised as disciples? Anyone want to just call out in a very loud voice so we can all hear, some answers to that question?
Wrong company?
By not knowing the answers. What do you mean by that? Just to clarify.
Not being able to defend what you believe.
Okay. So not having a reason for the hope that you have in Christ. Hang on 2 seconds, Jess. Sorry?
Sort of wishy-washy in your faith, not really knowing what to stand
for. Okay. Yep. Sorry, Jess, yes?
Trying to please everyone.
So we've got wrong company. We've got not knowing or understanding the core of our Christian faith. Sorry, what was yours, Jess? Trying to please everyone. Yep, wishy-washy, yes.
I was going to say, to be ashamed. But like
be ashamed?
If you're the one in a big group who are very antagonistic, suddenly you might, depending on your relationship to the Lord, you may be scared, stiff.
Which I think can happen. I think fear can be a natural part, but that's where we grow in our boldness. Hey, I proclaim, yes, Greg. Yes.
Staying silent.
Yeah. So falling for everything rather than standing for something. Yeah. That's good. Now you're all awake. All right. Hey, just one that I thought about. How can we be compromised as disciples? And I don't know why this came to me, but I thought I'd just share it with you. I just thought of the word dormancy. Where we can easily, and this is true for me, become inactive as a member of the body of Christ. And there are reasons. I mean, I'm not talking about bouncing around and doing this and that. I'm just talking about not fully functioning as a member of the body of Christ. Just lying inactive. You know, being inactive, and you know, it's this kind of this attitude of saying, listen, I want to be part of the kingdom of heaven breaking into my workplace, my home, wherever I spend my time. And so I will be attentive to where God is at work and jump on board when he says to do so. That's the posture of my heart, saying, I want to be part of what you're doing. I want to be on board. I don't want to just lie dormant. To fulfill its purpose, light has to be naturally present and not hidden or concealed in some way. And that's what we were talking about a little bit there. Secret discipleship is not in God's equation. We are called to shine with the reflection of God's light in word and deed to make the way clear for others. A clarity of mission. A clarity of mission. A second mark of discipleship, salt and light. The last question I have for you is this. Once again, discuss it or just think about this. How can we maintain our saltiness and our light? How can we maintain our saltiness and light? What keeps us being salt and light? So just turn to the person next to you quickly, throw out a few things, and then we'll get some answers from people. All right. I saw a hand over here. Helen? Yeah. Yes.
Work out your salvation.
Yeah.
To witness in fact that you are saved.
Yeah.
You should do that.
Okay. Been prompted to work out your salvation. Yes?
Prayer.
Yep. It's good. Communing with God. Being empowered and filled by Him. Yes, Lynn. Time in the Word. Absolutely. Absolutely. Call things. Wow. Learn to be hungry for God's word. Yes. Fellowship with other believers. It says in Hebrews, do not forget to forsake the meeting coming together. So crucial. It's like if you want to be a coal, you're going to lose your glow if you're not in the fire. Yeah? You have to remain connected because this is the opportunity in groups and on Sundays. This is the time where we get encouraged and equipped to go and be salt and light during the week. Yeah. One more, Greg. Yep.
Just building on that, but not just fellowship, but intentionally spurring one another.
Intentional about that. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Equipping one another, being intentional about that. Absolutely. Absolutely, and this is one area I think we can grow in. And I'll chat more about that at some other stage with regards to how we can do that even better on Sunday mornings. Thank you for your participation this morning. I've just written down a few things here. How can we maintain our saltiness and light? What keeps us being? And some of them have been mentioned. First of all, being rooted in the Scriptures. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, looking out for divine appointments where God's working and by walking in obedience. So what's the first mark? An embrace of kingdom values. Say that with me. An embrace of kingdom values. The second one is a clarity of mission. A clarity of mission. Awesome, let's pray. Won't the worship team come up? Let's pray together. Let's stand, won't we? Won't you stand, please? Father God, you know each of our hearts. I just pray that for each one of us, you would allow your love to be made complete. Jesus, thank you that you are our atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. And Holy Spirit, we pray this morning that you would possess us, that we may be transformed into the likeness of Christ. Empower us to reflect his glory and his majesty in this world. Father God, it is our desire to be authentic disciples. We want to embrace kingdom values. That of humility, of holiness, of harmony. We thank you, Lord, when the heat is on, you are right there to strengthen us. Lord, we want a clarity of mission. We want to be salt and light. So help us as we seek you to flesh these out in increasing measure in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.